morning, we're going to be in several different scripture passages. If you have a bulletin, you'll see them on the back of the bulletin, multiple spots there. They'll also be on the screen. But if you have a Bible or a phone or something, or grab one of the Bibles out of the pew, I encourage you to have a copy of scripture in your hand this morning. This morning, the title of the message is Our Church's Purpose. As you already heard from Pastor Kenny, I was asked to preach this message to our teenagers today in regards to being part of their Disciple Now weekend, basically talking about what does the senior pastor do? What is his responsibility? What is his purpose? On June the 6th of 1968, our church started. That's when they had their first ever service for Simonton Community Church that we now are a part of. But if you go back from there, there were people who came before them that laid a foundation. You see, all the way back in 1924, there were a group of ladies that came together, mostly ladies, that came together from Simonton and Wallace that began raising money, and it took them 17 years to come up with enough money and get a contractor who came and built a building on our property. It wasn't ours at the time, but a lady donated almost 2 acres of land. That's now what we call our chapel, but it was half the size that it is now. That church started in 1941 and went to 1957, and then they closed their doors. They didn't have enough people coming. This is still somewhat a rural area, and you can imagine that many years ago how rural it was back then. But then in 1968, there were four couples who lived in Simonton that decided to start a church in their community so that this community could have a church to come together and worship in. They decided specifically that they wanted it to simply be a church where we didn't worry about denominations, but we depended on the Word of God. And those who join this church first have to be able to demonstrate that they have a relationship with Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And then we also have to make sure we're on the same page. So we have a constitution and bylaws, and we have to be able to go through that together and say that we all agree with those two things, with by far the most important issue being our salvation in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So they started services here on June the 6th of 1968. It wasn't easy. By their own mouths, and some of you were around in the years after that. It was difficult. There was at least one time when they had a church gathering to decide if they were going to close the doors or not. I understand it was a very emotional, tearful congregational meeting where they rededicated themselves to the Lord and to this church and the ministry of this church. If they had decided the other way, that church would have closed its doors and we may not be meeting here today. 6 months after they started in June of 1968, that became January of 1969, and they voted to accept the constitution and bylaws of the church. It's kind of our governing document. The Bible is our foundation, and you'll see that in just a moment in the constitution and bylaws, but how our church is structured was written out in those pages. And from then till now, there's only been two revisions to that document, and I'll tell you about those as we go through. So this morning, I want to talk about what my role as the senior pastor is, and it's all based on what our church's purpose is and has been from the beginning. So go with me first to Acts chapter 1. I want to give you a biblical foundation, and then we'll go through the fourfold purpose of our church this morning, and then there will be a quiz, and if you pass it, you can go home. If you don't pass it, then you get to stay here, and the teenagers will be asleep on the pews and the chairs in just in about 22 minutes. Okay, I got you, teenagers. I'm moving fast. Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, God's word says, "The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had the Holy Spirit by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering, by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. And gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, 'You heard of from me, for John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And so when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. If you were with us last week, I preached a message out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In that message, we learned that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, there will be a last trumpet sound. And when that last trumpet sounds, signifying that Christ is coming back for his own, all believers will be changed. Non-believers will be changed too. But all believers will be changed to an eternal state. Your earth suit, your physical body will change. We're told in 1 Corinthians 15, everything will change about you. That which is going to decay if it stays in this condition will become immortal. It will become eternal so that it can handle what heaven has to offer. We also, 2 weeks ago, talked about the Bible and how important it is that we understand what God's intent with it is, and you'll see that again in just a moment. 3 weeks ago, we talked about, from Psalm 119, the importance of digging into the Word of God and staying there, making sure, especially if you're a believer, that that's your source, because God gives us everything we need from the Word of God. That's why a weekend like this is so important. Because of the time that these teenagers get in the Word of God. Many of them come during the week to be a part of our ministry, but some aren't able to do that. So you're in a short amount of time able to give them the Word of God. We saw a demonstration of the effectiveness of that this morning if you came to life studies as an adult. Tanner Coleman grew up in this church. He started here, I think Tanner was 10, 11, 12. He went through our youth group, so he graduated here, went off to college, came back and helped us, went through many Disciple Nows, helped us with Disciple Now, and now he's on a mission field in Lesbos, Greece with his daughter and his two sons, ministering the gospel. When he grew up here, he had no idea that he would be a missionary on the other side of the world, but God did. God used his word over and over again from his family, from his friends, from the church, and other ways, Tanner digging into God's word, that God used those experiences to create and shape and mold the gospel into Tanner in such a way that he would send him to the other side of the world, and that he would have a spouse that would say, yes, let's go. Let's do this together, and two kids that love being on the other side of the world ministering to refugees, those who have no home, those who don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. God's word means everything. We don't know what he's going to do with each of us, whether we're teenagers or whether we're senior adults. We don't know what God has in store for us, but we need to trust him. Here in Acts chapter 1, we see that Jesus appeared. Luke, the writer of this gospel, of this book, Acts. Luke is most likely the writer here, and he says that Jesus appeared to his disciples, the apostles, by many convincing proofs. We've seen in the gospels that he even let Thomas stick his hands into the holes where the nails had been. He also appeared to more than 500 people we saw last week. Luke tells us here that Jesus spent 40 days speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. The disciples didn't fully understand what he was talking about, but he commanded them to stay in Jerusalem, not to leave that city when they came together on this occasion until the promise would come. And that promise Jesus had already told them before, but he reminds them of it, is the Holy Spirit is coming, their helper. And they will be baptized. They will be identified with the Holy Spirit. We know that as the day of Pentecost. You can read further in the book of Acts and see that happen and see how those young men go out and begin sharing what God has done for them. But notice their question. They wanted to know when the kingdom of God was going to be restored to Israel. Even his disciples who had been with him and seen all that had taken place still thought that he was going to be a king on a throne that was going to dominate the enemies of the nation of Israel. They didn't understand that Jesus came to rule and reign in our hearts first. Oh, there'll come a day where he's on a throne on this earth and everything will change. But that time is not yet, because there's still time for all of us to have the opportunity, for the whole world to have the opportunity to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Jesus said for them, it's not to know the time that the Father has fixed, only the Father knows that. But he says to them, he commands them, wait here until the Holy Spirit comes. He doesn't want them going out in their own power, in their own authority. He wants them going out with the Father and the Son and in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he says to them, I want you to be my witnesses. A witness is somebody who tells a story of what has happened to you, something that you've seen, something that you've heard, something that you've experienced. You don't have to make up something. You don't have to make up some presentation or some speech or some sermon to try to hook the people in. No, he said, you go and be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jerusalem is a city. Judea is like a county. This church is located in Fort Bend County. It's an area. Samaria would be kind of like the state of Texas. It's an area, again, that's larger than the city or the county. And then he even says, go to the ends of the earth. And we know from the Gospels and from the book of Acts and the New Testament that they did. They went all over the known world sharing Jesus, what Jesus had done for them, how he had changed their lives, how he had died on a cross for their sins and everybody else's, and how believing in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior changes all of eternity for anybody who believes. So Jesus tells them these things, and then he ascends back to heaven, his rightful place, the place that he gave up to come and be here and ultimately die on a cross for your sins and for mine. So what does that matter to our church? It matters because of our purpose. Article 1 in our Constitution and bylaws says our church will be named Simonton Community Church. It will be located in Simonton, Texas, where God intended for us to be from the beginning. He placed this church here. Even though the people that raised the money found this spot here and the land was donated, this is where God's divine plan was for this church to be planted. Article 2 is entitled Our Purpose. And it says, our purpose as a church shall be to maintain a well-located and easily accessible center of Bible teaching and there to endeavor. Notice that it says we are to be an easily accessible center of Bible teaching, not a club, not a place where people gather to have meetings. We are to be a center of Bible teaching. What happens here should be founded on the Word of God. That's what my role as the senior pastor is, to make sure that we follow this fourfold purpose I'm going to share with you. But ultimately, all of it is centered on the Word of God. If you ever hear me preach anything from this pulpit but the Bible, drag me out of here. If you ever hear any person preach from anything other than the Bible and say it's the new truth or something related to that, drag them out of this place. Our purpose is to be a center of Bible teaching. And because of that, we have a fourfold purpose. Number one is to lead men and women and boys and girls to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we're to offer people salvation, to help them understand that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. Some of us learned last year, John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus made it clear the only way to get to the Father is going through Jesus. You can't believe in any other thing. You can't memorize your Bible. You can't go to church enough. You can't know enough people. You can't do enough good things. You've got to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because he and he alone died for your sins and mine. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then I'm sorry to tell you, your eternity's already been set. The Bible's clear that eternity is in hell. That means you're eternally separated from the Father. That's what the Word of God says. But if you choose to believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, acknowledging that he died for your sins as well, then the Bible says you can spend eternity with him, because no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. We want to give people, men and women and boys and girls, a chance to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Number two, part of our purpose. says that we are to instruct believers from the Word of God, leading them through a spiritual life into an active, working faith, which may be applied to daily living for the glory of God, and to this end, to pray and counsel together, one with another. Does that mean we're not supposed to preach the Word to non-believers? No. But non-believers have a hard time understanding the things of God until you turn your eyes to Jesus. And then the Bible says He lifts a veil from your eyes that has kept you from understanding the things of God. So it's hard to instruct somebody in something they're not going to understand until their heart belongs to Him. You may be sitting here today or sitting at home listening, saying, well, some of this makes sense, but I don't understand what He's saying. Have you ever given your heart over to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? That's the key. Then and only then can you fully begin to understand the things of God. And our goal is to help teach from the Word of God what we call discipleship. Help you not only know the Word of God, but live it out. And notice that in this statement, it doesn't say that the pastors know everything about the Word of God. We don't. But it says we are to learn to use the Word of God together in our daily lives, not just on Sunday morning, not just when you come to a disciple now, but in every area of our lives, we're to learn to do it together. And let me go back to some scriptures that we looked at 2 weeks ago, 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. If you were with us, I hope these sound familiar. This is where we get this purpose from. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. We learned two weeks ago that the Word of God is inspired. It's God-breathed. He gave it to the authors, not verbatim. He didn't dictate it to them, but He made sure that they wrote what He wanted them to write. And all of Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, whether you understand it yet or not, is profitable for teaching. If it's being taught, then you and I can learn something from it, whether we've heard it 1,000 times before or whether we're hearing it for the first time. It's also used for reproof. That means that there's something that God can show you with evidence in your life that you need to change. It also is used for correction. You can see things that God doesn't want you to get involved in so that you can avoid those things. It's His way of protecting you and loving you. He also uses the Word of God to train us in righteousness. And as we learned, training means day in and day out, learning to do the right thing over and over and over again so we please God instead of pleasing ourselves or somebody else as a priority. And once we learn to use God's Word in those four ways, then we'll be adequately equipped, men and women, to do everything that God calls us to do. His Word becomes our source. Number three purpose in our church is to maintain a keen missionary vision for the furtherance of the gospel on mission fields at home and abroad, with one with another, and to support missionary efforts. We'll go back and read what I just read a moment ago in Acts chapter 1. Listen to verse 8 again. It says, But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. He says there to the disciples that the power will come upon them when the Holy Spirit comes to be their helper. Again, they're not to go out and do their own thing under their own authority. They were going to be sent places and engage people that only God could deal with. And notice again, He tells them to be His witnesses in Jerusalem, the city, Judea, that area, Samaria, the wider area, and even to the ends of the earth. Our goal is to do that all over the world, do that here in our city and stretch it to the ends of the earth. We have missionaries, we call them covenant partners. We help them, they help us. It's a relationship, a coming together. We literally sign a 2-page, 1-year agreement that can be renewed, but it doesn't have to be. We want to work together to help and support the ministry on fields at home and abroad. That's why we have covenant partners here in Fulshear and Simonton. That's why we have some in the state, like Still Creek Ranch. Family Hope is here local to help with benevolence. We have Still Creek Ranch up in Bryan that's a boys and girls home that needs help. We have people literally to the ends of the earth and everywhere in between. to that end, 28% of every dollar that comes into general offerings goes to help support that missions work. But guess what? Missions, as you read here, is not just supporting a missionary on the mission field. Notice what it says. It's the furtherance of the gospel on mission fields at home and abroad. Did you know you're a missionary if you're a believer in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Every morning when you go to get coffee at that same coffee shop from that same lady, do you even know her name? Have you ever asked her if there was something you could pray for her as you drive on to work or home or wherever you're headed? You and I have the opportunity to be missionaries everywhere that we go, in our schools, in our jobs, in our homes. We are to be witnesses as God called us to be, not in your own strength, because you and I will fail in that, but in the power and in the help of the Holy Spirit. The fourth and final purpose in our church is to establish Bible classes in Sunday school as the Lord shall lead. We believe in Sunday school. You heard that from Pastor Kenny earlier. We know that having Bible classes and being in those small group settings creates a dynamic that you can't create in a large setting like this. It doesn't mean that this is invaluable. No, on the contrary. But the idea is so you can be together and live life with people who are trying to do the same. Listen to 1 Timothy 1, verse 5. It says, "But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith." That's the goal of our instruction from the Word of God. If your pastor stands in this pulpit and his heart is not pure and his conscience is not right because he's out living in sin, and his faith is made up, and he's just standing up here, then it's going to affect everything that he says to you, even if it is the Word of God. I have a biblical responsibility to instruct in love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith, not trying to put on a show, but instead trying to guide us to the truth of God's Word. So what is a quick summary of our purpose? Number one is all about salvation. Number two is all about discipleship. Once somebody gets saved, we need to teach them in the ways of God and according to His Word. Number three is about missions. Literally, that's about serving. No matter where you are, we should be serving. Should we be helping missionaries on the other side of the world like Tanner and Katie? Absolutely. We also need to help and be a witness wherever He takes us. And remember, you don't have to create some strong presentation or some hook to get a hold of somebody. You just tell them what God's doing in your life or what He has done. Number three is missions. Number four is Bible study. One of them be founded on the Word of God. So what is my role as the senior pastor? I've told this story before and I'll end with this today. In 2002, when we were building this building, this stage wasn't here yet. And one of the reasons that the stage hadn't been built yet was because of that cross. That cross sat over here for weeks. We had a man in our community make it. That cross is literally a three-sided cross. I know that doesn't really make sense, but that's how it fits on the wall. The backside was left open or hollow. And then what they did is they put on the wall, once they put that window in there, before the glass went in, they put that window frame there. And then they put a wooden frame that was very thin, but it fit just inside that cross. So they had laid the cross carefully over here on the floor and made sure that it fit, and then went up and bolted that on there. And that had been there for weeks, and I kept asking the contractor, I said, "When are we going to put the cross up?" He's like, "Well, we'll get to it." Well, you can't build the stage until you put the cross up, because you got to get a lift all the way in there. And that's pretty high. And so one day I said, "Look, let's get that cross up there. It had been stained and needed to be put up there." And so they said, "Well, none of our construction guys want to do it. They're scared to death. The thing is heavy, and it's very heavy." I said, "Well, I tell you what, if we back that lift up and y'all help me get it on it, I'll hold that cross because I want that cross up there. Let's get it up there." And he said, "Well, we got to lift it all the way up so that you can get the lip of the top of that cross over that wood so you can just let it then fall on. And then you got to hold the cross while one of our craftsmen comes with a nail gun and just with finished nails, he put probably, I don't know, 200 or 300 all along the outside, top, bottom, all the way around that thing into the wood that was already affixed to the wall." I said, "Okay, let's do it." scared to death, literally, because that thing is heavy. He and I are trying to hold on to it on a lift, being lifted up in the air. The lift is having a hard time because we're on it and that cross is on it and it's heavy. We finally get it up high enough to put that cross just over the top. We lean it against the wall, scared to death that we're going to drop and it's going to shatter and we're going to have to start over. But we got that thing up there and we leaned it over and they let the lift down just enough so it held on there. Well, then I had to hold it. And I reached around that cross into that window because the glass wasn't there and I held on for dear life. Number one, so I didn't die. And number two, so that cross didn't fall and kill me or anybody else. That's my job, is to keep us connected to the cross. I have to do that personally before I can ever do it to help you. That's my job, to keep our eyes on the cross, to keep us focused on the Word of God that He gave us. That's the role of the senior pastor. If we keep focused on those things, then we can go out and do the other things that God has called us to. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this church family. And I thank you for everybody that's here today and those that are watching online. And I pray that you would minister to them to help them recognize that it's not about Simonton Community Church. Oh, we praise you for this church and for the impact that you've had through the years because of this church. And Father, we pray that that impact would continue until Jesus comes. But Father, I pray you'd help us to recognize it's not about the building, as both Pastor Kenny and Pastor Jeremy reminded us this morning and that we sang about. It's about believers, people who've trusted in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, coming together, centered on the Word of God and holding on to the cross for dear life. Father, help each of us to do that. And Father, I pray if there's somebody here today or somebody listening that hasn't yet trusted in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I pray you'd help them take that first step today to believe and to trust in you as their Lord and Savior. Father, I pray they'd come talk to one of the pastors after this service, either during this next song or after a service. Call us or email us this week so that we can talk with them and help them in that process. Father, we thank you that it's that simple. Simply believing in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior changes our eternity. Father, again, we love you and we thank you for all you do for us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.